Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome back, or hello for the first time to Table Manners. This is season 4 and this is the beginning of this season, so we thought who better to kick it off than the kitchen goddess.
A sensational woman.
Somebody we have wanted from the beginning.
Yes.
What?
Give me something for my sport.
This is the first time we've put makeup on for the podcast.
She's a goddess, darling. Just give me a bit for that nose because I don't want her focusing on my...
I don't think she's there. Going to be focused. Mum, it's non-existent.
A tiny bit, that's it.
So, how excited are you about Nigella?
Well, excited and a bit nervous as well, to be honest. Not often we get a goddess in our kitchen.
You know, they don't call her a chef on...
They call her a cook.
A gourmet.
I've never heard that one.
Mum, how are you?
I'm fine, darling.
Are you still enjoying your life as a podcaster?
Oh, I love it, darling.
Mum, we are up for 2 arias.
I know.
This is amazing.
I know. I don't know what I'm going to wear, though.
I don't either. Dressing a bump is really difficult.
I don't know whether it's... Jessie, tell the listeners.
Yeah, I'm pregnant. And so what better thing to do than present a podcast about food and get pretty slap-up meals every week for the next 10 weeks. Mum, we've gone back and forth on this menu for months.
Darling.
We've kind of imagined darling, this menu.
How much have you done for this menu?
Mum, I am the bait.
No, you've been the... What have you been, darling?
The
Your
supportive...
brother has done everything. Thank God he was off work today.
I mashed the celeriac.
Yeah. He's had to put it in a bit dish so it looks presentable.
You know, I like to call myself the kind of Rick Rubin of this. I exec it.
Yeah, you certainly do. Can I ask you, are we going to serve it on a plate before she sits down?
No, I think that's a bit like desperate. It's like, hi, we've got food for you.
No, I don't mean like that. We'll plate it up as if we're in a restaurant, right?
I mean, whatever, Mum. I don't think Nigella's going to mind. Can you just take us through the drama of the cocoa beans?
Right. So I first tasted cocoa beans in Spring Restaurant.
Which we love.
Which is one of my very favourite restaurants. I've been 3 times this year already because I love
it
so much. Somerset House,
and it's just the most
so
beautiful.
So I tasted cocoa beans, which were delicious little brown beans. And I thought these were fabulous. And
what did they come with?
Lamb. So okay. I thought it'd be perfect to have with lamb.
I've never and had so, cocoa beans apart from...
Right, so I couldn't find them on the internet. So I rang Spring Restaurant and asked them, where do they get their cocoa beans from? And they said from Natura. And the lady couldn't have been more helpful because she even told me how she thought I should cook them. And so I ordered them, picked them up yesterday, along with the rainbow chard and the celeriac.
Yeah.
And then brought, and I said, oh, this is odd because they're white, not brown. She says, they'll go brown when you cook them. But they didn't go brown. They're just white. They look like haricot beans.
But only the best for Nigella.
Only the best for Nigella. £7 for a packet of beans. And they've not gone brown.
And
the lady said to cut up the rainbow chard stalks and they look horrendous. I can't serve those. I can just serve a bit of the leaf, not the rainbows. The stalks. You can have the stalks. She can't.
Thank you. All right, am I Cinderella?
And then we couldn't source blackberries because nobody else had them, not even...
Apart from M&S?
M&S.
Always.
Good old M&S.
Love M&S.
I love M&S.
Alex has done a dummy run.
I know he's made two. He must have spent all day on it. But can't we persuade him to stay?
I love having an OCD brother.
Can't we persuade him to stay?
He doesn't want to. It's a bit like when Jay Rayner was on. He said he didn't want to meet his idols.
He does want to meet Nigella, though. He used to watch Nigella on TV, all her programmes. You know, there's like almost a whole station devoted to Nigella. Do you know who else is very keen on her?
Who?
All the Greeks.
Oh, really?
They all watch Nigella in Greece. She's super famous.
I think she's famous everywhere, Mum.
Yeah.
She's here.
Shit. Right.
Fuck. Wish I'd made more effort. We have... are you sick of being called a goddess? Or does it ever get... Does it get boring?
It slightly gets boring, but I feel, you know, fraudulent because I so... Not.
Oh, shush.
I am so not a goddess.
You absolutely are. We have the goddess that is Nigella Lawson at my mum's house. Thank you so much for being on Table.
Well, it's so nice to be here.
Thanks for coming.
Now, so, okay, you kindly brought a candle.
Yes.
So Alex, because my mum, basically, we were like searing the lamb. We're having lamb tonight. And we were searing the lamb before. Mum's like, it smells like a bloody kebab house.
Nothing wrong in that.
Nothing wrong. But then mum's like, going to light a candle. And Alex said, no, you can't do that. You can't
have a scented candle if you're going to eat food.
No, I think that's right. Okay, not fine. In the kitchen.
He knew.
So we've not
around food. But yeah. I think you could, if you wanted one, say over there. But I think not around food because you just want to smell the food.
You're right. So I'm quite happy that
I've got an open, but it doesn't smell like a kebab shop, but I've got an open plan, sort of one big room. So I do have scented candles in there, but they tend not to, you know what I mean, they don't waft far enough to where I'm going to eat.
What have you been doing today?
Well, I got back from Greece last night and I have been doing all the things that pile up. I mean, I wasn't away that long, so like 1 week, but all the things that pile up, and I've managed some writing.
It's funny that you brought up Greece, because we go to Greece every year.
Yeah.
And Mum was saying about how huge you are in Greece.
You are massive.
Were you there just on holiday?
Well, sort of. I went to a wedding first, and then I've got a friend who comes from Mykonos.
Oh, nice. Were you in Mykonos?
So I was in Mykonos too, but I wasn't doing any of the things that people do in Mykonos because I was just sitting, you know, on his veranda, speaking to his sisters, doing things, meeting his friends there. And they kept making plans to go out, and I just said, oh, I just can't.
What, just
I went
didn't
a bit. I felt like, I don't know, I'm not really someone who wants to go dancing before in the morning.
Yeah.
Although I did do a lot of that for the wedding.
Did you eat good food there? Because I hear the Mykonos food's really good. They're fancy schmants.
Well, I did eat good food, but also because I was, you know, you eat the best food in people's houses. And so I ate at people's houses because I was with... just people who are, you know, great. When I was in Mykonos, you know, this friend of mine is a very good cook and he lives in Mykonos. He's in London mostly, but, you know, goes back to Mykonos. And his friends are good cooks. And so it was just, you know, really great.
Nice. And you can buy lovely tomato. Everything tastes delicious.
The cucumbers taste of cucumbers.
The cucumber and the melons smell.
And I had the most incredible capers that have been slightly fermented.
Ooh.
They'd just been put fresh in a plastic bottle with lots of salt until all the liquid, the salt and the capers all turn into liquid. And there's ferment. Oh, so good.
Do you think you'd be able to make them here, or would they just
We can't get fresh capers here.
Right, okay.
But there, they can pick them. I mean, it was, I think...
But Chrysoula's always got jars with things in the bottom, fruits or vegetables with some sort of liquid on the top.
Well, you can do
in
that.
In the sun.
Yes,
yeah.
You can do that here, but, you know, you have to get the ingredients. Mm. But, you know, the Greeks are so wonderful and hospitable. You only have to talk to them. They start slicing a sausage, putting a bit of cheese on the table, unwrapping a little something. It's so nice.
I didn't realise you were Jewish. So, and Mum's like, of course she is. But it's that similar thing, isn't
it?
It's kind of like, is there a problem? Here's some chicken soup. Is there a problem? Have some food.
No, quite. But also that just putting things in front of you all the time, you know, and... lots of, you know, watching to make sure you are eating. Not as much as my great aunt.
Who is Jewish in your family?
Well, all my family are, but we are not religious.
But you're still, we still claim, like, you know, the Jews will still yes. happily, proudly talk about you and JC and
yeah, of course,
and claim you.
And you eat chicken soup, of course.
I do, certainly.
Can obviously. We talk about, have you got any particular ingredient that you put in your chicken soup, or is it just like no nonsense?
Well, no, because I do change it a bit, and I don't really, I do make chicken soup, but it isn't really quite chicken soup, because I do it more as, because of the, you know, as we do, you know, the way my mother did it, I do, it's more, I call it my mother's braised chicken, because I always say it's part braised and part poached, and it's an act of devotion for us. My mother died very young. And so really what it is that it's a whole chicken cooked in a pot with carrots and leeks mm-hmm. and, you know, lemon and whatever you want, but, and a lot of water. Mm. And so what you do afterwards is that you make a chicken. So you've got a chicken soup, but you've got whole bits of
and
meat.
And do you put bits of chicken in?
Yes.
So you don't have a boiling hen?
Well,
because
no,
otherwise
I don't.
You can't eat that.
No,
it's
I don't
horrible.
Have a boiling hen. I do have a good chicken. But if I want to make just chicken soup, I use wings, not...
Yeah.
Because wings are the best. They flavour yeah. a lot. I buy a lot of wings.
Oh, so I could... Because I Mum goes to the effort of getting the boiling hen, which
yes.
I... She'll go to Stamford
I
Hill.
I did the other day.
That was good chicken
that
soup,
That not
too.
Bad.
But will you bother with the matzo balls or lokshen?
Well, I don't, because I'm not used to it. Although,
yeah.
I have to say, when my son was little, he really did, because my mother-in-law used to make, you know, proper matzo balls and that sort of thing. And all those things. As they said, lots of things ending in luch.
Luch.
But I do like all that kind of food. When I'm in New York, I'll go somewhere that has proper... Chicken soup, yeah.
Where's your favourite... I know this is a bit of an annoying question, but your favourite country to eat in?
Well, I don't know, because I'm so fond of, you know, I can't... You know, Italy, I could eat Italian food all the time.
Okay.
And I lived there when I was young, so...
Where did you live?
For me, mostly in Florence, I was a chambermaid. It was in between school and university.
God, you wouldn't mind having Nigella as your chambermaid, would you?
But I moved around a bit too. I went south a bit as well. But if I'm in Italy for any length of time and I really love it, I just come back really longing for some Thai food or a curry because I miss heat.
Yeah, love curry. Yeah,
you know, so I do miss heat. I think, see, in a way, I think, you know, England, London, which is really where I'm from, London, is a fantastic place to eat in because you can get there's everyone,
everything,
and you get everything, and it's. You know, from, you know, really little places. You doesn't have, I don't mean the fancy places. Mm. I'm not mad keen on that.
So,
but London's a good place to eat.
So where are your favourite restaurants?
Oh, well, it's, you know, my favourite restaurants have a lot to do, I think, with habit and that. So
yeah.
I love the River Cafe because I've been,
yeah.
Do you know, I went there when my kids were little, you know, Sunday lunch and there. So it's where I would go for a special occasion.
Yeah.
If it's, you know, someone in the family saw one of my children's birthdays, you know, I will go there and it's lovely, especially in summer when
yeah.
you can sit outside. So I love that.
When Hannah graduated, we went there, didn't we?
Yeah, and we had those lovely Bellinis with their
pink
peaches
yeah,
that they'd grown outside,
so,
yeah.
So
and
nice.
It's just a good, you know you're going to get a good meal.
But also, that the you know, I know some of the people who work, you know, front of house, they've been there since I've been going there. I've been going there since the beginning.
Must be a great place to work.
You know, so I remember, I went there 30 years ago, maybe 31 years ago.
Yeah, I think I did.
Or something, and they've been working there. So you feel that great sense of continuity,
yeah.
And I like that.
Mm.
I mean, I do sometimes like going to a new place, but...
My new favourite place is Spring.
Yeah, that's...
I do love
good.
It.
The food's... The skies are...
And it's brilliant. Such a pretty place
yes.
to eat.
I don't really like going to restaurants a lot. I do more when I'm abroad.
Is it because you get recognised and it just feels
a
like...
A bit.
It just makes it unpleasant because it kind of you feel like people are watching how you're eating.
Sometimes, not that I mind that, but a bit. But it's a bit that.
Mm.
But I also, I think sometimes it's a bit that I do cook quite a lot at home and I eat quite a lot at home. So when I go out, I tend to want something plainer. Whereas when I'm...
I see.
So when I'm away... I'm not eating that much, you know. So then I would even then though I like quite plain things. Rovi is quite good. Have you been to Yotam's
I'm
new
taking
place?
Her for her birthday because
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm taking.
Okay,
her
you've got to have the celeriac
celeriac
shawarma.
Yeah,
and the lobster crumpets with sesame. We're going there for your birthday. Oh my God, it's so good.
But when you say, so you enjoy cooking at home, do you ever feel like it becomes like work? Because
I
you know, us doing this podcast, I mean, you know, my pleasure of, I mean, I know your pleasure's gone from doing, you know, I mean, not that you ever enjoy cooking in the first place, yeah, and then I made you do this fucking podcast.
Yeah, it's really odd. I think it's more pressure because yes, we want to make it kind of special.
But I think cooking for people you don't know is terrifying. Yeah. So if you're just talking about cooking for friends or a family or myself, well, that's fine. But I, you know, if I feel there are people that I don't know or I don't feel at ease in front of, I always think people are going to get so disappointed because they expect it to be really fancy, and it is really, you know, roast chicken.
But that's what I've always liked about your programme. It was always about, like, this occasion, but it was just friends. It wasn't supposed to be something over fancy.
So that's
supposed to be communal eating.
But we all sometimes feel, you know, exhausted. There are times when I feel I am just too exhausted to cook. However, once I'm actually pottering about in the kitchen, you know, stirring something, I decompress and I feel better. But I think that there are certain moods when it does all feel like too much. But actually, it's like so many things, you know, the thought of it looms so much and you have such dread.
Yeah,
but then when
I
you
agree.
Do it, I like it. But I think that whenever it is too much, it's because I've decided to do too much. And that's why I nearly always write my list and then read it again and then cross half the things out because I've thought, oh, I'm going to do too much.
You can manage with less. Yeah.
You don't need all that much. I mean, I think that there's a slight, I find it slightly difficult sometimes if I'm cooking and I have to remember what I'm doing when, and then people sort of, you know, how they want to talk to you and they suddenly lounge in front of the stove and you're trying to get something or I forget.
Yeah.
But I think mostly it doesn't really matter, and it's as long as you kind of keep your calm. It's that's more important than whether things work or not. I mean, I am, you know, I do tend to be one of those people that says, oh, that should be more like this, or that's overcooked, or that's undercooked. But I will only allow myself to do it once because I think otherwise it becomes a burden,
a burden
on other people.
And they keep on saying,
what are they meant to say?
You
know, so that's the wrong thing.
Yeah.
But I also feel that the clearing up, on the other hand, sometimes that, you know, and sometimes I just think, oh God, I can't face that.
Does that make you decide, like, have you ever been like, you know what, I'd love to do that, but that is going to require so much clearing up, I can't be arsed, I'm going to do a one potter?
Well, I never do fancy things anyway, but it is just more that sometimes it's about this, which is that I've got some plates I really like, but they just don't fit in the dishwasher.
And you can't be asked to walk
and it's just that thing of there are lots of people. But actually, again, when you do it, but I'm one of those people, see, I don't mind washing, I can't stand the putting away again.
I get that.
But I have to say, though, but I don't particularly want people to help me clear up because I need to do it in my own time
and my own
pottering.
And just leave it.
And do it. But I, you know, I don't... Cooking as performance art has never interested me.
Right. So it's just got to taste... try and taste as good as possible.
It does, but also just... It's just about making people welcome. But also, one of the things that's quite good about being in Greece is you realise they don't make a distinction between whether something is made or bought. You know, if it's a lovely bit of cheese. For example, I'm going to a talk on Thursday and with a friend, and obviously I can't really cook. I mean, I cook on Sunday before, and I'm in the studio all week. So I just said to her afterwards, oh, well, you know, let's come back and have smoked salmon at mine after. And that is really nice. So I think the thing is, it's wonderful to eat with people and share food with people, and I don't think you have to fetishise whether it's... I don't feel I have to start, you know, chiselling... you know, radishes into chrysanthemums to go with it. You know, I might make a salad as well, and I might then feel a bit inspired to put different things in it at the same time. Yeah. But actually, I just want to know there's food there that we're not going to have too late at night.
And,
you know, because I'm going to be up early the next morning, I don't want to make a big deal of it.
But have there been any kind of brilliant mistakes you've made in when you've been kind of, because, you know, you've got, you're a chef, you know.
Well, I'm not, though. But that's a really, really big distinction.
Yeah, it is.
It's a really big distinction.
But how can you not?
Because she's not had a classical training.
I have, no, but I've never cooked in public.
Like having a restaurant, even
though
I had a restaurant.
But even like when I do demos, I think, oh my God, please, do I have to do a demo?
Really?
Because, I mean, I don't, you've seen me on TV, I don't cut properly. You don't need to.
But
to
I think that's the charm.
Good. Yeah, but that's not, you know, I'm not a chef, I'm not trained, and I speak to Yotam about it. I don't think it.
He's not a chef, though, either.
He's trained as a pastry chef,
is
I think.
He?
Mm.
But okay, would you call yourself a cook?
Yes, but I'm, I call myself a home cook.
Okay.
God, you know, I wouldn't call you a home cook.
Yeah, but
a home cook makes it you
but,
sound
but, no, but that's, no, but that's
like
only,
us.
No, but that's only because home cooks
we're
always,
not,
you know, talk themselves down. I think of myself predominantly as a food writer, to be honest, because it was writing about food that made me.
Yeah, I wondered how you learnt to cook.
Because I learnt from such a young age because my mother believed in child labour. And of course, you know, in the olden days, that people didn't worry about, you know, child safety. You know, so we had a very rickety sort of, or we had an old, it was called something like New World Gas Range.
Oh, yeah, New World.
And, you know, she'd put a rickety chair, and me and my sister, we'd be standing on the chair stirring things and just getting things done. So we weren't doing it as amusement. You know, now, you know.
So you were helping her?
We were, yes, we had to help and do things properly. So for me, the big challenge when I wrote my first book was learning how to weigh and measure.
Mm.
Because certain things I did weigh and measure for, but things like making a white sauce, you know, bechamel, I had no idea how to do it except by sight and feel. And then I had to, I think it's called reverse engineer. And I do that quite a lot. A lot of my recipes come because I just cook something and then I have to work out what I did.
It's so tedious, that part, isn't it? Because
it doesn't come naturally
no.
to me, but I've got a slightly obsessive streak which comes in handy.
What did you do at university?
Medieval maths. And modern languages.
No.
Oh, no. No, maths not my strong point. I did
medieval.
Manage to pass an O-level, but not... That's it.
Medieval and modern
Bloody
languages.
Hell.
So what languages do you speak?
Oh, God, hardly any now. French, German and English.
Oh, piss off, Nigella.
I don't mean French, German and English. I mean French, German and Italian. But I actually don't think I would be able to remember any German now, although I did rather
okay.
love it.
Really?
And which medieval language?
Well,
you?
All of them go, you know, going
oh,
back,
so
but mostly, you know, but mostly Italian and, you know, going from sort of medieval Latin and also Provençal with the French people. But I mean, you just read it. You're not having to talk anything.
How exciting.
I like reading. I'm a reader. So I was going to do English, but then I thought, well, I'll do languages because...
What was the last book you read that you loved?
I am reading at the moment a book that I am rather transfixed by called, I think it's called The Overstory. And it's heard about trees. People and their connection to trees and it's...
Isn't it on the Booker?
It is,
shortlist,
yes.
Yeah. Is she Australian? She's not the one that's terribly young.
No, I think it's written by a man.
Okay.
I can't remember his name, and I should, because I read it on the iPad. You don't have the book in front of you.
Oh, God, really? I can't do it. It hurts my eyes doing the iPad.
Well, I read with sniper's lenses at night, so I've got lenses which are yellow, which block out the blue light.
Ah.
It's only because I, you know, when I go away, how many books can you take? And also, I'm a very bad sleeper, so if I read with a book with a light on, it's going to keep me awake longer than reading with my iPad and my sniper's glasses. So
that's where you read, in bed?
Or anywhere. But
oh,
yes,
you read a lot?
But mostly, I do. Mostly.
How many books a month would you read?
Well, it's difficult to say because it depends what I'm doing, you know, because if I'm out a lot.
Okay, if you were really
busy. I would probably read one or two books a week.
Oh, my God.
No, but I don't do other things.
I'm a disgrace.
No, it's not about good or bad. Well, I do sometimes. I mean, I do sometimes, but it's not about...
So it's like you're reading...
I don't watch TV a lot, you see.
There's so much good
TV at
the moment.
I do sometimes. I know there is, and I do watch some, but I do feel I need a certain amount of quiet so that I can only do noise for so long.
I need to learn about
that. But you see, my idea of... You know, a really great evening is going to bed very early. You know, no wonder I don't see, because they always say you mustn't go to bed really early and just read for hours.
Why?
And if I'm not doing anything at the weekend, I get up, have tea out there, I might do some, you know, a yoga class or something like that, and then I go back to bed with a book and lots of it, and that's what I do in the daytime.
See, you're a bit of an insomniac. Or you're a bad sleeper.
Well, I am an insomniac, but I try and live with it and I try and do things about it.
I mean, I'm kind of with you on the thing of going to bed. I love an early dinner.
But they always say...
I'm not an insomniac.
Jessie could sleep standing
up.
No,
but you see, they always say... And every time I've seen anyone about my bad sleep, they always say, you must go to bed much later and you mustn't lie down and read in bed.
Why?
Because you're meant to just go there for sleep and give yourself a shorter window. But if I go to bed late, I worry, because I wake up early, I worry about... how little sleep I'm going to get. Oh. But I think this is a function of having children. I think you never lose that thing of working out backwards how much sleep. Yeah. You know, when you stay out longer than you mean, you always try and count how many hours sleep. If I actually get to sleep when I get home, how many hours sleep maximum am I going to get? And you never quite recover from
and
that.
And then you stress out about it so much, I know.
And I always get worried about, I'm going to get... be tired when I do that, and I'm not going to get enough sleep, which is a really mad way of thinking about it. But I think it leaves a scar.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you.
I mean, because
my brother really is a big fan, and that's kind of why he had to leave the room. but he wanted to know, you know, because you talk about going down for like a midnight feed.
Well, I do that in TV more than I do. I mean, I try not to.
Is that an actual thing?
Well, I try not to. I try not to. I only really do that if I've been drinking at all, because I'm not very good at alcohol. So...
Do you not drink?
Yeah, I do, but not very often. I mean, I did, you know, quite a lot in Greece, I have to say. But what I mean is that, so if I come back from if I have two glasses of wine...
You're good to go with snacks.
No, but, you know, it makes my blood sugar go up, and then I need to have lots of food afterwards. So I often will go out for dinner, and if I have wine, I have to eat something when I get back.
So when you go out for dinner, do you drink wine then?
I do sometimes. I try and drink wine with people.
But not always?
Not always. Sometimes I just can't face it.
Have you never liked it very much?
Yes, but I've never been a big drinker.
Okay. It's like you, really.
But I do like it, but I'm a bit... I mean, I do try to, because I think sometimes if you don't drink, it's like after the first hour of a party, you're in a different room than everyone else, and that can be quite difficult. I mean, I feel that I'm quite an anxious person, and... drink can really exacerbate that anxiety.
Depends.
Well, I think at first it gets rid of it at first, but then afterwards you do, that horrible, you know, tight feeling of, you know, worry, and just generally just not feeling quite right. Kingsley Amis always said there are two hangovers, the physical hangover and the metaphysical hangover, and the metaphysical hangover was worse.
Yeah, definitely. It's true. Wondering what you said the night before.
But it isn't even that, it's just that. I mean, I don't mean that much drinking, it's just it does something to me. But I think maybe it's an age thing too. After a certain age, you don't...
Well, the hangovers get worse as well.
You don't deal with wine as well. You know what it is, it's being out of practice. So... I went into training a bit, because I went to Italy for 3 days, and so the 2 weeks before that I started having a glass of wine a bit each week to go into training to get myself used to it.
I love that. This is actually quite selfish of me. I've got my best mate's hen coming up, and I've decided we've got this beautiful house in Camber Sands that it's like this Scandinavian, like beautiful. We've basically put all the fucking budget in the house, which means that I'm kind of stumped with maybe trying to be quite genius about what brunch we're going to do.
Yes.
What would be your best go-to brunch thing for 12 people that's kind of feels like I can feel like I'm slightly effortless? I was thinking kedgeree.
Yeah, I think that's a good thing.
It's quite good.
It is, if you've got big enough pots. I've got quite an easy recipe too that I do quite a bit in the oven. I call it my Asian flavoured one. And made with salmon. It's not traditional.
No,
and
that's
it's got
fine.
Lime and coriander and that sort of
thing. So it doesn't have smoked haddock in it?
No, it's not at all like that. But kedgeree is great. Or you can do one of those things, I think they call them strata in American. I've got a croque monsieur bake, which is so really you're doing like a savoury bread and butter pudding.
Ooh,
so
that's delicious.
I've got brown bread, plastic brown bread,
yeah.
You know, because you know, they're thin.
Like sliced, kind of.
Yes.
Not
with,
fancy.
You could use any.
Okay.
And I make sort of, I make cheese and ham sandwiches. I think it's Gruyere and ham with some Dijon mustard. And then you beat eggs, and you can put that in the fridge the night before, and you put eggs and milk in it, and then you let it soak in, and then you just put it in the oven in the morning.
That sounds good.
Like eggy bread.
That well, it is, but it's like a pudding. It's in a dish. It's in a casserole.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what would be quite nice?
What?
To do like a Chinese congee. You know, if you had a slow cooker.
Oh, what, like the rice kind
Yes,
of
that
porridge.
Ricey soup with chicken stock. But not everyone likes that.
I know. I feel like that could be a bit like Marmite.
I'd quite like rice pudding and jam, wouldn't you?
If in the morning?
I wouldn't mind. Actually, I don't. You see, I. Do you know the funny thing is? Breakfast is the only time I actually have to make myself eat rather than...
Oh, really?
And so because of that, I have the same thing every day, more or less.
And what is it? Porridge.
No, I don't. I don't understand. Porridge just makes me starving. You know how everyone says it
fills
you
up? Yeah, me too.
It makes me completely starving.
Me too.
I mean, I love it. Porridge with golden syrup,
and they
delicious.
Say it's got this slow-release energy. No, I'm still waiting for it.
For me, not at all. No, I have poached egg on toast.
We do, too.
Do you add Marmite?
I don't. I sometimes do, but, you know, I'm a traitor to my people because I like Vegemite.
Oh, you get out.
How?
I'm sorry.
How can you?
Because Marmite isn't what it used to be.
What?
Is
it
right?
Change?
Yes, I do. I feel it lacks the bass note now. It's all squeaky and high.
Although, where's the bass note in Vegemite?
I don't know, because it's matte rather than shiny. It's a bit more bass note-y. But I do... there was one that Marmite, they brought out some time ago that was XO or XS or something like that. And that was delicious. And it tasted more like...
Like meaty.
Yeah, it tasted more that strong, rich flavour.
Oh, God. I didn't even know about the
I still love
one.
Marmite.
Yeah. Anyway, so you absolutely has to be done.
Poached egg. So you have poached egg on toast.
Yes, I do.
Just
I used to have boiled egg on toast, but since I taught myself how to poach an egg... Very late in the day.
Tell us how you do yours.
Okay.
Well, if I'm doing it for fancy, like people coming, I first crack the egg over a tea strainer into a cup to get rid of, because a French chef told me this, is that the point about eggs is that the older they are, if they're not really fresh, the older they are, the white turns watery, and that's what makes all the strands.
Okay.
But what I do when it's just me at home, or, you know, the kids... I crack the egg into a little cup and I pour lemon juice or vinegar just on the white and leave it there while the water heats up and everything. And then so I don't get the water boiling, it's just nearly bubbling, very, very low. And then I tip the egg in and I leave the watery bit that stayed in the bottom of the cup in the cups.
Oh, okay.
And then so it's a bit more solid. As I say, I strain it if I want it perfect. And everything.
I leave it
on very low. Sometimes if it's only got one egg, you can turn it off and leave it for 3 to 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Just in the turned off water.
Yeah.
But if there's any more than one egg, I think you have to have it very low. But I have it so low that I often forget to turn it off altogether. Anyway, so I leave that in and I take it out with a slotted spoon, pat it on a bit of a kitchen towel, and then I put it on my toast.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Is the food ready? Do I need to turn on the celeriac?
The celeriac.
Mum wanted to drizzle the truffle oil in front of you.
Okay, celeriacs. So How did you do the celeriac?
I just boiled it and put lots
I find peeling celeriac and cutting it so hard.
You know what?
It's so difficult. Have you ever tried Jotam's whole baked celeriac? It's about 3 hours. I haven't, but I keep meaning to. Because I find it impossible to peel and cut.
We've done rack of lamb with a pistachio crust. And it's just sitting there, so I'm going to cut it.
So what was the kind of most memorable dish from your childhood that your mum used to make?
Well, do you know what? I really, really hated meals as a child. And whenever people come to me and they say, oh, my child doesn't eat, I will say, I did later, but I never did as a child. I didn't like it at all.
Well, you didn't like the sitting down?
Because I didn't like... I don't remember enjoying the eating either, but I was brought up in a very strict way. So you were given your food and you had to stay at the table until you finished it. And if you didn't finish it, the plate was given to you cold at the next meal. And that was actually old fashioned even when I was a child. And so I didn't like that, but I liked quite strange things as well. I loved spinach, which I still do. I adored spinach, a lot of spinach with butter, my idea. Yeah.
So that was what you were having when you were younger?
When I went to my grandmother's. Okay. So and she would, let me have what I wanted. So if I wanted a big bowl of spinach, I could have that. And I used to go to Panzer's with her. She lived in Cavendish Avenue. And I used to go to Panzer's?
Yeah.
Of course you do.
Yeah.
And it's Circus Road.
Road near St. John's Wood.
Well, yeah. And so I'd go there and we'd buy things and we'd go to the butcher and we'd go home and make something. And I ate weird things I like brains and brown butter. And I didn't, and I was so, I was very, very young. I didn't realise it was actually brains from an animal. I just thought it was something
brains.
Called brains. You know what I mean?
Oh, wow. Do you still like brains and
I do.
Butter?
I do like, I like, I had something in Greece called kokoretsi.
Kokoretsi is fabulous.
Oh, my God, which
it's like awful.
It is all awful in a roll. And then the intestine on the outside, like almost like intestinal crackling on the outside. It's so delicious.
If you were going for a bring a dish to a friend's party.
Oh God, it would make me
would
so
this stress
nervous.
You out?
It would actually, because I feel like I was being judged.
But people expect something of you now, right?
Baked pasta, I think, is quite a good thing.
Baked pasta? Okay, so come on, tell me, a tray bake.
Well, yes, but I might do a baked, I do one with mushrooms, I do a kind of like a bechamel and lots of mushrooms and stir them all in together. But I suppose one of the things I do remember from when I was a child that my mother used to cook was leeks and white sauce. Oh, yeah. And I cook it in the same way, so I do it slightly different. So she would cook the leeks in water, cut them into, short logs, cook the leeks in water, and then mix that water with the milk to make the bechamel. I put vermouth, dry white vermouth, because I don't drink enough wine to have open bottles of wine.
I could
do wine that. So I put a bit of, I don't mean like the best, a bit of martini, Bianco, and in with the water, not that much for the leeks, and I use that to make the sauce. And I use, and sometimes my daughter calls it pie insides, because when I used to make pies, I used to put that
Ooh,
in.
Yeah, lovely.
But I make that into a pasta bake.
Oh, that sounds nice.
With cheese, and it's just leeks and cheese.
I could do that. When we're having the manicures on the Saturday at the
end. Do you think you're ready to eat?
Yes, I'm starving.
Yeah. Okay, always ready.
Yeah. Are you in kind of mad working mode at the moment, promoting?
Because well,
How to Eat has been republic. I mean, what
do
you say?
I don't know. There's a reissue.
Reissue.
There's a sort of 20th...
Anniversary.
So I'm doing a bit of that.
You've got a book tour.
I'm looking forward to that. I like
you
doing
to
this.
It's rack of lamb.
Lovely. So, fantastic.
From Wonderful Gingerbread. Do you have
I know the gingerbread.
So how many would you like?
That's unfair to
and
ask.
And would you like...
No, just
well,
pick
I'd
a four.
Like four.
Yeah, I could...
That's
yes.
how much I would eat.
Three
and
or four.
And do you want me to cut them through, or will you cut them through?
Will you cut them, please?
Okay.
Unless that's a nuisance.
Mum is being really different to how she usually presents.
You're supposed to be polite.
No, I know it doesn't suit you. But you've got
Yeah, so it's which I'm liking. Well, it's a sort of a book tour, but it's not really going to be just about how to eat. I'm going to various theatres,
yeah,
but I'm looking forward to it because what's really nice, I've got such wonderful people,
yeah,
interviewing me,
yeah,
and also so the second half, you know, it's the first half is sort of talking, so it's, you know, in a way, as you know, when you interview people, it's where the questions go, and it's a conversation. But then what I really like is the second half is questions from the audience, and that's always interesting because I. You know,
you never know what you're going
to
get.
But I never know when someone's interviewing me. I don't ever want to be told beforehand what, you know, you've got to answer in that moment.
It's actually really, yeah, it's
because otherwise you start, you know, trying to think, oh, what would be my answer, you know.
But also to
difficult.
Have different interviews. I mean, I've never done a book tour, so I don't know how it is. But I mean, it's just, and to choose such brilliant people Dolly and who else have you got interviewing you?
I've got Diana Henry. I've got Charlotte Mendelssohn, the novelist. I've got,
Did you choose these? Were you like, I quite like these
people? Yes, I was. I wanted people from different, you know, of different ages, different, who'd written different sort of books, but people who are interested in food or writing.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Thank you.
Tessa, do you?
Yes, please, Mum.
That pink lamb is just perfect.
That is cooked to perfection.
That is
Michelle
so good.
Michelle Reed Jr. would be very impressed, Mum. Mum, this is great. Oh my God, that's great.
But the lamb is perfect.
It is. It's just perfect.
We ask everybody.
Yes.
Fire away.
Last Supper.
You see, that's such a difficult one.
Okay, Desert because, Island
no,
Supper.
No. I'll tell you why. Because I feel there are so many things. I feel making choices and leaving things out is going to be so difficult. Okay.
But you've got
okay.
To.
Okay. So first, I would have. Either guacamole, but the one I do without any tomatoes and not with red onions, but just spring onions, green chilies, lime, salt, coriander, avocado. Or rocamole, which I do, which is blue cheese and guacamole mixed. Mm. So it's got spring onions, sour cream, blue cheese.
Nigeria,
I won't have it. I have one and I think maybe... I'd have the rocamole.
Go out with a bang.
And I'd have some incredible bread and butter and bread and olive oil, every sort.
What kind of incredible bread?
I think I would have incredibly good French bread or English white loaf with butter, and I'd have some extraordinary sourdough.
Okay.
With, I had some incredible sourdough from the Dusty Knuckle.
They're my friends.
Are they? And funny enough.
Oh my God, Beth is going to be so happy.
And, my God, it was so good. I had their potato sourdough.
They're phenomenal.
Oh my God, it was so good. So I'd have that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think I would have linguine with clams, you know, with garlic, parsley, and a bit of chili. No tomatoes anywhere. White
wine. Oh, no tomatoes.
No, absolutely. I forbid the tomatoes. and then, you see, it's difficult because you do get quite full up. So I would want a proper roast chicken dinner. But I would also
I love that was a primmy. A preemie.
Oh, yes, well,
but
also, you know, it's your last dinner, you're going to have dinner. But I would also like, you know, a proper steak and chips with béarnaise sauce as well.
I think that could be a
And I would like a fennel and lemon salad with or without maybe some very thinly shaved bits of pecorino. Mm. Very thinly cut raw fennel, lemon juice cleansing. I'd have peas. I do frozen peas, which I cook, you know, for a very long time, so they go grey and they're so delicious.
Why? Because they just cook them with?
Well, it depends. Sometimes I just do a bit of vermouth and mustard, or sometimes I just do a bit of oil and butter and...
So they kind of look like those miserable peas that you get in the...
They look like the French bottled ones. No, because they're small, because they're petit pois. They look like the French bottled ones. So I might have to have those too, but certainly... And then I think I would have some gorgonzola.
Yeah.
And then either like blackberries and cream or lemon meringue tart.
Well, hopefully you're going to like the pudding then.
Yeah. Which Alex made. It's
bloody,
a blackberry and custard tart.
Fantastic.
Yeah. With your recipe for the pastry.
Oh, good.
Yeah, he did it.
Nice.
Well, that's actually the first time that we've done kind of a cook. And it's not meant to be sycophantic. It was just Alex is obsessed with this.
Because we just received your book.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
I think that crust was very good, wasn't
Everything
it?
Was
it
very
was
good.
Pistachio and mint.
I love mint. So underused.
Yeah.
Do you think you have good table manners?
Well,
I think you do.
I think that people shouldn't judge.
I don't know, but you see, everyone, I think, as in the rest of life, what manners really are is being considerate to other people. See, my mother brought, even though they were old-fashioned and strict in some ways, had these rather, she was quite quirky as well. So she used to say, don't ask Stretch. Because, you know, when you were little, you were told...
Oh, really?
She said it's very rude to interrupt people's conversation. So if people are talking, don't say, excuse me, can you pass potatoes? Just get them.
Oh, no, you see, with the other way...
Everyone was brought up the other way around.
Not the boarding house reach.
Yes, but everyone was brought up the other way around, but she said that. But I think that... Really, manners are about being considerate to other people.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, it is difficult. There are certain people who you really need not to be looking at when they eat, and that's not pleasant.
Oh, I agree.
I think probably a lot of them are in my family. But I don't think that... I mean, I think when you see people sitting around a table and they're not being together, that's quite a sad thing. I think... So I have certain rules I don't like, which I know that I don't like cross-contamination. So I can't bear it if I see someone putting... I have servings,
yes, worried,
and I don't like it
and
if people use their...
Yes.
And if people use other spoons, and I don't like it if people put anything... A butter knife is a butter knife. I don't want people to be putting...
I agree.
Jam or crumbs in the butter. I don't like that.
I think that's perfectly reasonable.
But I wouldn't tell someone else off. But I wouldn't tell someone else. I realised that that was because I was brought up very strictly about that. Mm. And so I have a thing about
it. Why were they so strict, do you think?
I don't know, they were.
But was eating important in your family?
Because the food was, definitely.
And the appreciation of the food your mother's efforts
because,
to cook.
Because I think in those days... It was considered rather vulgar to talk about food. Whereas at home, you know, other people, you know, it was not considered the done thing. Whereas we are always talking about what we've eaten, what we're going to eat, other things we could be eating as we're eating. But even when, you know, but as I say, as a child, I wasn't so much like that. But as I grew older, like teenage, I did get much more interested in eating. And I think it's because I think it's because I like being in control of it. And I love being cooked for, but I can't imagine what it would be like not knowing what you're going to eat every day.
Mm. But I knew every day what I was going to eat.
No, but what I mean is that some people are cooked for, always.
Oh, I see what you mean.
And they don't mind what they eat.
Do you think that even applies to when people just basically eat out every night because then they know what they're going to... I mean...
I don't... Yes.
I couldn't do that. I feel like I need that control too. And
it's not just that, but it's just that it panics me. If I'm out and I don't see anything I want to eat, I get a bit panicked.
Oh my God, me too.
You see, I think often as well with hunger is that I don't always experience hunger like in my tummy that I need to eat, my mood goes.
Yeah.
And I experience it as panic and despair rather more than actually thinking, oh, I need to eat. And every now and then I think, oh, maybe I need food.
I never forget
that. No, I never forget, but sometimes if you're working, you can't. I feel you have to, and when I'm traveling, sometimes I miss food and it's really hard for me. I get a bit hysterical when I'm not fed.
I think we should have dessert.
Oh, yeah, let's have dessert. Sorry, yes.
Jess, you were left in charge of what goes on top.
It's creme fraiche, but it was supposed to be whipped creme fraiche, but okay. We didn't whip it.
We don't need it. We don't need creme fraiche with the custard tart.
You don't think? Sure? I think you need the tartness. I'm going to have it, but...
I'm going to take a picture.
I'm going to take a picture of Nigella taking a picture. I have to say, your pastry is very good, Nigella. Alex has done a very good job. Mum's quiche dish, which is a bit deeper, got broken today.
But Nigella said don't use quiche dishes.
Oh, yes, because ceramic, you say, makes it a soggy bottom.
This is so good, isn't it?
It's good.
It?
See, so I like the creme fraiche with it because it gives a little tartness.
I can understand
tartness.
That, but I don't know. Let me try it with as well.
It's very just good pastry recipe. Mm.
But it's
it's very crisp.
It is, isn't it?
I can taste the nutmeg and the custard. So how did, forgive me if you've talked about this so much, but how did you get into starting? Because you were a journalist before you became.
Well, I was. So what I wrote about all manner of things. I started off in the literary side, in arts, and arts journalism, and then literary, the literary pages, and then I wrote sort of being a columnist. But I also, at the same time, did write a restaurant column from quite a young age. But that was once every 2 weeks. But the other stuff I did, you know, more days a week.
But so you were a restaurant critic.
Mm-hmm.
How did you find that?
Well, that was in the days when there weren't restaurant critics much. They had stopped, they had been, but then they'd sort of stopped, and I started it again.
That was very clever.
It was only, you know, but I've. Do you know, in a way, it was quite interesting because I felt that my job was to sort of give an idea of the experience to people. Mm. I mean, I didn't do that way it's done now often when it's a funny turn.
Yeah.
You know.
But I think we've all become a nation of critics, don't you think? Because of MasterChef and Bake Off.
And Twitter.
And yes, and I think social media, because of social media, yeah. Blogging and so
and talent
so
shows
forth.
And X Factor. So we're all very critical of things.
And I think that's what makes people nervous of cooking, because they almost feel they're going to be judged.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think you're right. Yeah.
How do we reverse that then?
Don't know.
Well, I think you just have to surround yourself by people you like, and then they're not judging.
Would you like coffee or tea?
Tea, maybe, please.
I've got some fresh mint
yes.
for tea.
I'd love
I'm
that.
Very
thank
happy.
You.
Thank you so much for doing this. We've wanted you to be on this podcast since we thought of it.
Oh, I'm so pleased because it's so nice. I mean, I couldn't be feel more at home or happier than,
nice.
You know,
good.
Just so great.
But no, this has been bucket list ticked.
Oh, God, I hope I haven't been a disappointment.
Are
that's
you kidding?
Worse.
You've given
You're
me
fab.
All the ideas for my hen do that I'm cooking for, and you've been amazing.
Yeah,
Nigella sucked a lamb chop in our kitchen, darling.
She is one of the sexiest women I've ever met.
She is just so serene and composed and beautiful.
But she's so generous.
Generous, kind.
I mean, she sorted Sarah's hen.
She sorted Sarah's hen.
So interesting, so many ideas, such passion for food. That's why we do Table Manners, because that's what I want to know. That was just like the quintessential version of Table Manners.
To meet someone so special who likes food. Do you think she liked food more than us or as much?
As much.
As much. Okay.
Come on, Mum.
Okay.
Come on, we were the ones that were slapping the creme fraiche on.
And big thanks to your brother tonight.
Okay, so this may be the end of Mum and I cooking, because I feel like we got on better tonight too, Mum.
Yeah, because I wasn't
we didn't fight.
I've been at work.
You gave me one fuck
but
off.
Jesse, what is in the fridge that's very yellow?
That's Alex's custard, extra custard.
In case of what?
I love it. He really had survival kit in case everything fucked
survival,
up.
Survival cooking.
Survival Nigella cooking. No, it
I can't
was really
think
good.
How many cows died today. Because we've had, there must have been 2 pounds of butter used. Because one
basically
one
a whole
pastry.
Farm died today.
Yeah.
Well, that will all change when
Jesse,
we have a vegan
do you know what I
on.
Thought? Do you think we should have starters as well as a main course?
Mum, do you want us to carry on loving each other? I hope Nigella enjoyed herself.
Do you think she did a bit?
I mean, she had mint tea, so she didn't want to run off.
No.
And everyone should go and buy How to Eat or actually just watch any of her programmes and just show
you,
how much she loves
and
food.
I tell you, go and get tickets for her tour.
Absolutely.
Because live, she's mesmerising.
Yes.
You think she's good on TV, but you sit and watch her when she speaks and it's, you know, that she's just great.
She knows
she's
how to
mesmerising,
hold
court. Yeah. How can she call herself a home cook? I mean, if she's a home cook, what are we like? We're kind of the shed cook. I'm telling you.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you're enjoying it. We've got so many more fabulous guests coming up on Series 4, so stay tuned.
The music you've listened to on Table Manners is by Peter Duffy and Pete Fraser. And Table Manners is edited by...
the wonderful Alice Williams.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.